Sunday the 26th of March 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose-Driven Life. Sermon title, How Real Servants Act. Bible reading, Mark chapter 10, verses 35-45, talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
Today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 35-45. It says, And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, withal shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Verse 45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Eden, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to hear your word. Father, we just pray that you would continue to open our minds and our hearts. Father, would you speak to us? Would we hear the words that you want us to hear? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our sermon series from Rick Warren's book, Purpose-Driven Life, and we're looking at how real servants act. Have you ever noticed that things aren't always the way that they seem? Sometimes what you thought you knew was the right way or was the correct reading of a situation, and it turns out to be completely wrong, which is what happened one Mother's Day. A mum and her family were heading off to church, and everyone was ready except her eldest son. As usual, he was still fussing about getting ready. Mum, who didn't want to be late, called up the stairs and said to him, Look, we're going. Hurry up. His reply was, I promise I will only be a few minutes. You go on ahead and I will catch you up. So when the vicar began the service, there was still no sign of her son, and Mum began to grow a little angry. By the time the sermon had begun, he still had not arrived, which made her even angrier. And when communion had finished, there was still no sign of him, making her furious that her son had not turned up at church with his family, especially since this was Mother's Day. After church had finished, instead of staying behind and enjoying fellowship, she flew out of the church and marched home, her anger fuming all the way home. On reaching her house, she stomped through the door, spotting her son sitting on the sofa. She went to him and launched into her tirade by saying, You told us that you were going to come to church. How are you going to explain yourself, young man? Don't you know that this is Mother's Day and I'm so hurt and disappointed with you? Her son looked up with tears in his eyes and said, I tried to come, I really did, but I just couldn't get my tie tied. And I really wanted to surprise you by dressing up for Mother's Day. Mum could see the untied tie in his hand and that he had tried to get the knot right. And he was very upset over not being able to dress up for Mother's Day. Just to surprise his mum. Her anger melted away and was replaced by compassion. With tears in her eyes, she gave her son a big hug and told him that she was very proud of him trying to get dressed up, and the thought of him trying to surprise her was in itself a great Mother's Day gift. Sometimes in life, things aren't always the way that they seem. How many times have we flown off the handle without knowing the full facts? There's a lesson for us all to learn in this story, especially about listening, because there is so much more to being a parent than we realise at times. And the more we learn about being good parents, the more we will be able to understand and implement those same caring and loving characteristics in our Christian discipleship as we inhabit the world distinctively, learning more about serving others, which might mean we need to understand different situations rather than jump in with both feet only to discover that we have misread the situation or misjudged someone before finding out the facts. In our Bible reading, we see James and John could have misread the situation by wanting the highest positions in Jesus' kingdom when they asked Jesus to grant them the honour at sitting at his right and left hands when his kingdom comes in all its glory. I have no idea how they were going to solve which brother sits at the right hand and which brother sits at his left hand. But they asked this knowing that since Jesus is Lord, he has the power and the authority to grant their request. But Jesus says to them that true greatness comes in serving others, and whoever wishes to be first must be slave of all. There is power in the small things that we do when we serve others. There is power in acting like a slave to all. This keeps us humble and it helps us to live within the knowledge that we need God's grace in our lives. Rick, in his book, catches this powerfully when he says, "The world defines greatness in terms of power, possessions, prestige, and position. Jesus, however, measures greatness in terms of service, not status. God determines your greatness by how many people you serve, not how many people serve you." In many ways, we see this servant heart come out in parents, especially mothers, who do everything in their power to ensure their children's happiness and well-being. I know from experience that as a parent, there are times when you always seem to be at the beck and call of your children, running them here, there, and everywhere. But we always seem to have the time, day or night, to do whatever they ask of us. Sadly though, when it comes to our discipleship, we do not always put that same importance on serving God and others. We skip coming to church if there is something better on offer, and we more often than not struggle to find time to spend with God, seeking out his desire for our lives. And I'm sure we would never go an entire day without speaking to our children, family member or a friend. So why is it we do not put that same importance on spending time with God? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but be honest with yourselves. How many allow a day to pass by without reaching out to God and asking him to guide you through the day instead of struggling through on your own? Asking God to be with you as soon as your day begins makes a huge difference, because you are not trying to do things in your own strength, but in God's. We need to remember that first and foremost, we are God's servants, not our children's or other family members, friends or work colleagues. Although we do have a responsibility to them, to serve them as Christians, but it's how we balance the world and God in our lives that really matters. God says that the needs of your church family are to be given preference, not put at the bottom of your list. We are always asking for volunteers to help out in so many areas of church life, but sadly, not many take up the baton and are willing to run with it. John Wesley was an incredible servant of God, and his motto was, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Challenging words for any of us to aspire to, because great opportunity often disguise themselves in small tasks. There will always be more people willing to do great things for God than there are people willing to do the little things. Being a good mother is a wonderful gift given to us by God, but how we parent our children is so important, because children must learn right from wrong. But sometimes we find saying no such a hard word. We should be giving our children opportunities to learn the blessing of serving instead of always expecting others to do stuff for them. When I was young, we all had jobs to do, and if one of us failed to do our job properly, it reflected on us all. And although at the time I did my jobs unwillingly, I did learn, though, that we all need to discover the importance of serving others and taking pride in what we do, not because we want to make ourselves look good, but because we are doing it for others and therefore want to do the very best that we can. Now, my mum had a saying that she would always use: if we rushed to our tasks and made a bad job of them, she would always say, "If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well." Well, being a bit cheeky, which I'm sure none of you would believe for one moment, I would always answer back and say, "Yeah, if it's worth doing." It's only later in life that I realised my mum was preparing me for life and that the world did not revolve around me. I soon discovered what she was trying to teach me when I started work as an office junior and was expected to do all the menial tasks like making tea, sorting the post, running errands, and, of course, filing. When I look back, not one of those jobs were unimportant, because although I was not in charge, without the office junior, the staff would not have had a nice cup of tea placed on their desk throughout the day. Or there wouldn't have been anyone to run their errands and to get their snacks. And it did not take me long to realise that in many ways these small jobs were important, especially filing. Because if something was misfiled, then it would waste time and energy looking for something that I had failed to do incorrectly. We all need to find ways that we can serve those around us. And if appropriate, why not take your children with you so that they can learn how to be a servant? We can't teach our children what it means to be a servant without giving them opportunities to serve. If we are serving alongside our children, then the lessons will be learnt in a much more powerful way. Rick reminds us that real servants are faithful to their ministry, whatever that might be, and anything we do to serve God is a ministry, especially being a parent. Faithfulness has always been a rare quality because most people don't know the meaning of commitment. They make commitments casually, whether that is in a relationship or service to God and his church. Sadly, people seem to break them for the slightest reason without any hesitation, remorse or regret. Every week, churches and other organisations have to improvise because volunteers didn't prepare or show up without prior notification. So here's another question for us to ponder on. Can you be counted on by others, not only in your family life, but also in your church family's lives? Real servants maintain a low profile. They don't promote or call attention to themselves. They put on the apron of humility to serve one another. They think about their work and not what others are doing. They don't criticise or compete with other servants or ministries because they are too busy doing the work that God has called them to do. I often hear people complaining about what they're doing and why others are not stepping up to the mark. It's not a competition. We should do what we do because God has asked us to do it. And when we are focused on our service, we will worry less about what others are doing or not. We have all been given different assignments and are all uniquely shaped and equipped to carry out that particular assignment. Paul says in Galatians 5:26, "We will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an equal." We all need a certain amount of approval from others, but those who go out of their way to secure honours or to win popularity with a lot of people can become conceited and show that they are not following the Holy Spirit's leading. However, those who look to God for approval don't need anyone else's. There is no place for petty jealousy between servants. When Martha complained to Jesus that Mary was not helping with the work, she lost her servant's heart. Let's make sure that we do not lose our servant's heart by complaining about others. Trust God and keep serving. Let him worry about others. Rick Warren then goes on to say, to be a true servant requires a mental shift, a change in your attitude. God is always more interested in why we do something than in what we do. Attitudes count more than achievements. Paul says in Philippians 2:4, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. This is what it means to lose your life, forgetting yourself in service to others. Because when we stop focusing on our own needs, we become aware of the needs of others. A man was driving his car when he saw an old lady stranded next to her Mercedes with a flat tire. He saw that she needed help, so he stopped, got out of his car, smiled and asked if he could help. But because of his appearance was shabby, the old lady looked afraid. So he tried to calm her by saying, "I'm here to help you, don't worry. My name is Brian Anderson." Brian then knelt down to change the tire. He got dirty and his hands were hurt. And when he had finished, the lady asked, "How much do I owe you?" And Brian smiled and said, "If you really want to pay me back, the next time you see someone who needs help, give that person help and think of me." Later that day, the old lady stopped by a small cafe where she saw a waitress nearly 8 months pregnant, wiping her wet hair with a towel. And as she approached, she noticed that she had a sweet, friendly smile, even though she looked tired. She still was able to give that smile to a complete stranger. Then she remembered Brian, and when she had finished her meal, she paid with $100 bill. The waitress went to get change, and when she came back, the lady had gone and left a note on the napkin. "You don't owe me anything. Somebody once helped me, just like now I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, do not let this chain of love end with you." The waitress found 4 more $100 bills under the napkin. That night, the waitress went home, thinking about the lady and the money she left. She wondered how she knew how much her and her husband really needed that money, especially now when the baby would soon arrive. She knew that her husband was worried about that, so she was glad to tell him the good news. Then she kissed him and whispered, "Now everything will be all right. I love you, Brian Anderson." We may never know the differences we might make to someone else's life when we forget ourselves and lend a helping hand, because servants base their identity in Jesus and not the world. So whenever you hear the word servant, please think about what Jesus teaches us and how we are called to live our lives. Only secure people in Christ can serve. Insecure people always worry about how they appear to others. It's only when you base your worth and identity on your relationship with Jesus Christ that you are freed from the expectations of others, and that allows you to really serve them best. Rick Warren finished this section with these words: "Servants think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. They enjoy helping others and meeting needs. Imagine what could happen if just 10% of all Christians in the world got serious about their role as servants. Are you one of the 10%? My prayer for all of us, and I include myself, is that we will have the same servant heart as Jesus, especially as we celebrate Mother's Day with families and friends. Let us remember that many hands make light work, and that mothers everywhere serve in so many different ways not because they have to, but out of love and commitment, not only to their children, but to God, who first loved them. And because of his selfless love, he was willing to sacrifice his son so that we could truly understand what it means to serve. And as I finish, we're just going to watch a video. And can I encourage us to look at the words, and may the words inspire us to live a life in service to God and to others. Amen.